But we're going to look at this scripture in three different translations here. But in John chapter 16, and this picture up here, in fact, you could see a little bit of the background there. That is the actual upper room in Jerusalem. It's still there. That's where the baptism of the Holy Spirit was initially poured out. You can go visit it to this day. Amen. Of course, we've got graphics on top of it there for our new series. That's the upper room. Amen. Now, how many of you know that you don't have to go to the upper room now to get filled with the Spirit? You can receive the Holy Spirit anywhere on the earth. You can be at the North Pole, the South Pole, the equator. You can be anywhere and God will fill you with the Holy Spirit. But John 16 and verse 5, Jesus said this. He says, "But now I go my way to him that sent me." All right, Jesus is talking here to his disciples, his followers. And he says, "But none of you ask me, whither goest thou?" Or where are you going? "And because I have said these things unto you," in verse 6, "sorrow has filled your hearts. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's expedient for you that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." Now let's look at the, if you bring up on the screen there, the Message translation here, okay? The MSG, except this MSG is not going to hurt you. Okay? Some people are allergic to MSG and, well, this will not hurt you. Are you with me now? All right, let's loosen up a little bit here. Amen. But notice that Jesus said here, and it's, you know, it helps to read the same scripture in a different translation because you get a little different angle, a little greater understanding. Someone said it's like climbing a mountain. If you climb the mountain on the eastern side of the mountain, you get the eastern view. If you climb it on the western side, you get the western side view of the mountain. But it's all the same mountain. But when you climb it from all angles, you get a real clear picture of what that mountain looks like. And so it is with translations of the Bible. Now, notice it says here in the Message, "I didn't tell you this earlier because I was with you every day. But now that I am on my way to the one who sent me, none of you has asked, where are you going? Instead, the longer I've talked, the sadder you've become. So let me say it again, this truth. It's better for you that I leave. If I don't leave, the friend," notice the friend, "won't come. But if I go, I will send him unto you." Everybody say the friend. The friend. Praise God. I just feel so lonely. You've got a friend, the Bible says, that sticks closer than a brother. Hallelujah. You know, I'm sure all of us here from time to time have felt symptoms of loneliness. Okay? And you can be in a household of people and still feel lonely. But let me tell you something. There's one that will never leave you ever, ever, ever. Amen. Now let's look at this in the Amplified translation, and then we'll talk about today about the Holy Spirit. Okay. The Amplified says this in verse 5. That's John 16, verse 5. The Amplified says this. "But now I'm going to him that sent me. None of you asked me, where are you going?" Verse 6. "But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow has filled your hearts, taken complete possession of them." Isn't that interesting? "However, I'm telling you nothing but the truth when I say that it," and I love this part, he says, "it is profitable, good, expedient, advantageous for you that I go away. Because if I do not go away, then the Comforter, Counselor, Helper, Advocate, Intercessor, Strengthener, Standby will not come unto you," notice this, "into close fellowship with you. But if I go, I will send him to you to be in close fellowship with you." Amen. Let me ask you a question. Did Jesus leave?
Yes.
Okay. Then if he left, something else came. Amen. Now, Jesus, at this time in his life, on this earth, his mission, think about this. Jesus lived on this earth as a human being for 33 and a half years. Now, his ministry started when he was 30 years of age, and his life was cut off at 33 and a half. So that's a 3.5-year ministry. Think about this. Someone said this, and I'll never forget this. It took 30 years of preparation for a 3.5-year ministry. Hallelujah. But look at how much he got accomplished in 3.5 years. Isn't that wonderful? Now, up to this point, in this 3.5 year period, Jesus had his 12 apostles, and then there was disciples and people that followed him. And up to this point, during those 3.5 years, Jesus was their comforter, their counselor, their helper, their strengthener, their standby when he was on that, on the earth. But there's only one problem. Jesus, in his humanity form, can only be at one place at one time. That's why the woman with the issue of blood had to go looking for Jesus. Okay? She had to go find him in another town to receive healing because she had to go where he was. Jairus came where Jesus was. The paralytic that was lowered down through the roof, they came where Jesus was. So you can understand real quick why there are certain limitations. There's definite limitations to Jesus' ministry when he was here upon this earth. And that's why he began to say, it's expedient, it's advantageous for you that I go away. Now, they didn't understand that. Now, I can identify with that because sometimes you'll hear a scripture, read a scripture, like, I don't get it. I don't understand that. But Jesus began to say to them, he said, it's expedient, it's profitable, it's to your advantage that I go away. Now, they're thinking naturally like you and I would, and they're thinking, wait a minute. How can it be better when you're leaving us and we're stuck here alone? Are you with me now? But you know what the actual Greek says? It says, Jesus said, I will send another comforter of the same kind to not only dwell with you, but to dwell in you. Say, in you.
In you.
Praise God. Now, we're gonna look over some familiar truths, but I'm telling you what, we're going to look under some things. We're going to lift up some rocks, so to speak. We're going to look under, and we're going to see the reality of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And I'll tell you what, he is in this place today. He is here. If you're a child of God, he lives on the inside of you. Now, the Holy Spirit is not a cloud. Okay? He's not an influence. He's a person. Because the scripture tells us that you can actually grieve the Holy Spirit. Now, you can't grieve a cloud. You know? You can't grieve an influence, but you can grieve a person. Just like I can grieve you. If I said some nasty things to you, I could grieve you or vice versa. Right? And the Holy Ghost can be grieved. He can be quenched. He is a person. Now, listen. When you became a child of the living God, your sins were not just forgiven, which they were. All right? They were wiped out. But much more happened in that situation. The Bible says that your body became the temple of the Holy Spirit. Now, it's interesting. In Corinthians 1 and Corinthians 2, 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, there are three scriptures that say, and we'll probably, if we have time, we'll look at those, where Paul the Apostle said, what know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? You're not your own. You've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which belong to God. Praise God. We're to glorify God in our bodies. We're to glorify Him in our spirits and every area of our lives. Hallelujah. Are you with me? No one here didn't just, if you got saved, you didn't just get forgiveness of sins. Your body became the temple of the Holy Ghost. You have God through the power of the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. Amen. Now, you know, there's many Christians that walk through this life. And the Holy Spirit is basically locked up in chains in the basement of their life. And you got a muffled down there. He's like, he's trying to talk and they're not listening. They don't know. A lot of people are not taught correctly how to listen to the Holy Spirit. But I tell you, that was the reality. And I know Lynn and I, we've talked about this too. When we first got saved, you know, and back in the 70s, there was such a, how could I say, the 70s, 1976, I gave my heart to the Lord. And there was such a reality of God in my life. And I didn't know anything. I had zero teaching. But I knew that something happened to me. It was radical what happened to me. And it was like I could just, it was like, almost like I opened my eyes and I saw things I didn't see before. You know what I mean? Not physically, but it was just like everything became light. Everything just changed. You know what I'm talking about? It's hard to put it into words. But I became a new creature in Christ Jesus. And I didn't know that, but I knew something was different on the inside of me. And it wasn't until a couple of years later that I began to realize that a person moved on the inside of me. Amen? I made mention of this a couple of weeks ago, you know. And how many of you here have ever seen a woman that's expecting before? Just a few. Okay. And you know, when you look at someone, they're in their ninth month. I was at the store, you know, one day, and there was a lady. She looked like she was about to give birth in the store, bless God. I was ready to call 911 or something, you know. And I'm looking, and I'm thinking, there's another person inside there. Hallelujah. There's another person inside there. Why is it so hard for us to believe that there's another person inside of us named the Holy Ghost? Are you with me now? Come on now. All right. Praise God. And when we understand the reality of the fact that your sins are not just forgiven, the Holy Ghost came to live on the inside of you, then we can either do one of two things. We can either ignore Him, which there are a lot of believers that ignore Him. They act like He's not even there. You know what I'm saying? Man, they're in the same house together, but you know, they're not even talking to one another. You know what I'm saying? But I tell you, as we begin to acknowledge the Holy Spirit, there are certain things that we will not do anymore. Are you with me? See, this is what true holiness is. True holiness is not just giving up this, giving up that, but it's listening to the person of the Holy Spirit, to listen to Him about your decisions and the things and the people that you hang out with and so forth and so on. Amen? When I got saved, you know, the Bible says that the Spirit of God will teach you all things. And there are certain people that I couldn't hang out with anymore that I used to hang out with. Why? Now, the only thing that I knew is I felt like if I hang out with them, I'm going to go backwards and not forwards. Hallelujah. And so even back then, I didn't even realize the Holy Spirit was teaching me. He said there's certain things that I wouldn't do anymore. There's certain people that I couldn't hang out with anymore, you know. And so when that happens sometimes, that's when fear tries to get a hold of people. Well, if I quit hanging out with them, then I'm going to be all by myself. No, you're not. No, you're not. God will give you a whole bunch of new friends. Amen? Amen. Here's a clue. If you're trying to find Christian friends, it's not going to be down at Joe's Bar and Grill. Are you with me now? It just isn't going to happen that way. Amen? Joe or Pete's Bar and Grill, whatever. You know what I'm saying? Are you with me? Yeah. So you have to go where believers are. You have to go where Christians are to get in contact with believers. So when I first got saved, the Spirit of God started teaching me, and I realized He was a person on the inside of me, and He began to lead me and to guide me into all truth. Praise God. But notice that Jesus was their comforter, counselor, helper, strengthener, standby when He was on the earth. But now that He left, guess what? The Holy Spirit is all that to us. Now, really, stop and think about this. The only reason that Jesus was their strengthener, their comforter, their standby is because the Spirit that was in Him was working through Him to minister to those people, those disciples. And Jesus said, now, the same Spirit, we sang that, the same Spirit that raised up Christ from the dead dwell in you. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies. Say, same Spirit. Amen. Now, the Holy Ghost doesn't have twins. There's not two Holy Ghosts. There's not a lesser Holy Ghost and a greater Holy Ghost. There's only one Holy Ghost. And here's the difference, because when Jesus was on the earth, He was not omnipresent. He could not be everywhere at once. Now, in His resurrected form, He can be. All right? But the Holy Ghost knows no limits, no perimeters, no boundaries. He can be over in your house and my house and that country and this country at the same time. Now, don't try to figure that out. Just believe it. How many of you know there's air here and there's air in Ohio? Okay? Jesus said the Spirit of God is like the wind. He is a person. Amen? And so I believe that today that there's an awakening coming to the fact that, my goodness, you know, some of us have been through some stuff, you know, and when, if we would listen to the Holy Spirit and perk our ears up, so to speak, and listen, then he would walk us through so many things that we've stumbled across. There's so many things. Listen, there are so many things that you and I can avoid, problems that we can avoid if we just listen to the Holy Ghost on the inside of us. And in this series, we're going to talk about how to recognize His voice and how to listen to Him and how to flow with Him, how to function with Him. Amen. It's an exciting, exciting life.
Yes.
Amen? See, back in the Old Testament, you know, there were nobody was born again. You know that. Nobody could be born again and have the Holy Spirit in them until Jesus was raised from the dead. So you had three people. You had the prophet, the priest, and the king that God would anoint. And the Spirit would come upon them, not in them, but upon them to give wisdom and direction to the people of God. And that's the way, that was the Old Testament. Okay? Now the Holy Ghost was not in them. He came upon them. So when the New Testament began, when Jesus was raised from the dead, that was no longer necessary. I don't need to go. Now, under the Old Testament, you had to. You go to a prophet, a priest, or a king and say, hey, what's the Lord telling you from me?
Yeah.
Are you with me?
Amen.
But I think a lot of people think they're still under the Old Testament when the New Testament says the Holy Ghost, the same Spirit, is living on the inside of you.
That's good. Amen.
Amen. Now, prophecy, for example, is men speaking unto men to edification, exhortation, and comfort. When you receive a prophetic, a word or something, you know, and I've had that through my life a couple of times where it was, and it basically just confirmed what already was in my heart about what I was supposed to do. First time that happened to me, there was a guy named Bob Buse, you know, he's in heaven now, and I was really wrestling with the call of God in my life. And I was invited to he was ministering at a church in my local area near Canonsburg when I was down there. It was at Feed My Sheep. Remember that, Patty? What used to be there? And he came and he spoke there. And it was in an upper room of this little, tiny little office complex, you know. And there was packed full of people. And I was really wrestling whether or not God had called me to the ministry or not, you know. And so I basically agreed within myself that God had called me to do this. He called me out. I came in late with my buddy, my friend of mine. We came in late to this meeting, and they put us up on the second row. There's only two chairs left. They put us up on the second row, and I was looking up at him. He's a big, tall Texas man, wore cowboy boots, you know. And him and his wife would minister, and I'd never seen anything like this. They're calling out things. Gifts of the healings were flowing. And I mean, right then and there, in that presence, there are people being healed. There's people's mouths that were being healed from all kind of problems in their mouths. And it was miraculous. And I just had this funny sensation in my heart that he was going to say something to me. I don't know why. I just kind of felt something was going to happen, you know. And sure enough, he reached his finger down. I was sitting down there, and he goes, "Young man," and I'd never met this guy in my life. He said, "The Lord has called you into the ministry. You're going to go get training." He said, "And not only that, you're going to meet your desire, your heart, your wife soon." Okay. And it was shortly after that I met Lynn, you know, and everything that he told me was not new. It only confirmed what God was saying in me, my spirit already. So prophecy should only confirm what God is telling you. Now, I remember way back in the day, you know, this is in 1980, around 1980. I was in my church, you know, and there was a guy and his family in there, and he was probably in his mid-50s at that time. And someone had prophesied over him that he was to quit his job and to go and be a missionary in China. Okay? It wasn't somebody in our church, you know, because it was a good solid church, and somebody prophesied over him that he was supposed to literally quit his job, move to China with his family, be a missionary. So he thought he heard from the Lord, you know. Now, here's the thing about it was, that's the first time he heard that. So if God's wanting him to go to China, he's already going to be talking to him. There's been some lives that have been shipwrecked because of prophetic word. Listen, if it isn't in your spirit, put it on a shelf. You know? Are you with me now? Just because someone says, thus saith the Lord, doesn't mean it's always God. Are you with me? The Bible says, prove all things and hold fast that which is good. Well, you know what happened? This guy did exactly what the guy had said, this minister had said. He quit his job. Now, he had just got married, had a couple of kids, young kids. They moved to China, ended up getting out of the ministry, got divorced, lost everything they had. Lost everything they had. And came back spiritually, emotionally shipwrecked. Now, it didn't have to be that way. Are you with me? Didn't have to be that way. The Spirit of God was trying to show him, don't do that. But see, what happened was he got hard-headed. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Hard-headed, hard-hearted,
yeah.
And just shout out what the Spirit of God was trying to tell him to do. Are you with me now? Amen? Are you with me?
Yeah.
Now I can tell you, let's get a little more current here. Let me tell you something. If you were up in Boston last week, and you were at the marathon, the Spirit of God would be talking to you. If you're a Christian,
amen.
The Holy Ghost would be talking to you.
Yeah.
You say, well, you mean he'd appear to me and say, no, something would seem unsettled on the inside of you. And see, I know I'm stepping a little ahead of myself here, but this is why sometimes tragedy happens to believers, because believers still have to listen to the voice of the Holy Ghost. And that's why people say, I don't understand. They were such great Christians. They served God. I'm telling you, they were so faithful, but they died in this tragic accident. Listen, the Holy Ghost was trying to talk. Are you with me now?
Yeah.
The Spirit of God, His job is to lead and to guide you into all truth and to lead you around situations. Praise God. You may not even understand. You're just supposed to get out of there.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. There's been times I've been driving and I'm like, I'm not supposed to go home this way. I'm supposed to go home a different way. Now, analytical people, that's where they get into trouble. They thought, why, God, would you tell me to go a different way? Just forget that. If you're going to be so analytical about everything that God says, then you're going to get in trouble. You're with me now? See, the Spirit of God will lead you around things, okay, instead of going through things a lot of times. But we have to have ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to us. I mean, I know any time in my life that I've gotten into trouble, and I'm not standing up here acting as if I've never made mistakes. I've made plenty of mistakes, okay? But you know, anyone that hasn't thrown the first stone. Are you with me now? It's a process to learn how to listen to the Spirit of God. And it's a tragic thing what happened up there. You know, those people need our prayers. Amen. But Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. And the voice of a stranger, they will not follow.
Amen.
I knew of a firsthand incident. You know, when that flight, I can't remember which number it was, plane fell out of the sky here in Pittsburgh a number of years ago. 427 from Chicago. I knew personally of a guy that was supposed, a believer that was supposed to be on that plane coming back from Chicago to Pittsburgh. And it was a tragic thing. Nobody survived. And something told him, not an audible voice, just an inward intuition, inward witness, postpone, get on the next flight instead of this one here. So he did. It was so subtle. But guess what? It saved his life. It saved his life. Are you with me? Praise God. There may have been other believers. I'm sure that there were on that plane. The Lord was trying to show them as well. Now you say, well, how do I know, Pastor Keith? If I get afraid, listen, the Holy Ghost doesn't have to use fear to speak to you. Anytime he's spoken to me, there's no fear at all. It's just like, don't do this, do this. And so what we have to do is we have to develop a hearing ear to hear what the Lord is telling us. Amen? All right. Let's go over to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. I'm telling you guys, listen, you cannot lose with the Holy Ghost. You cannot be defeated when you have the Holy Ghost inside you.
Amen.
Only if you don't listen to Him. Scripture tells us that He's the Lord. He causes us to profit and leads us in the way that we should go. The Lord our God. But Luke 24. Now, I will say this. Even if you've made mistakes, He can still cause you to recover from that. I don't know about you, but has anybody here ever taken a wrong turn off a highway before? What do you do? Do you throw your hands up and say, I'll never get to my destination? No, you just get back. You find a way to get back to the main highway. Okay? Now, you may be a little late getting there, but at least you get there. All right? And if you get, I'm telling all of us, if we get off a little bit, you know, just retrace our steps. Let's come back to that place, you know. And it may take a little longer, but the end result is you will still get to your destination. Amen? Okay. Here we have after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, we saw that, first of all, in John there, that Jesus said it's important, it's advantageous for you that I go away. Because if I don't go away, then I cannot send the Comforter. On the day of Pentecost, Jesus sent the Comforter. Now, let's look at Luke 24 in verse 48 in the Amplified Translation. You know, that's the women's translation. It's a little bit more wordy. Just kidding. Just kidding. Just kidding. All right, Luke 24, verse 48 says, you are the witnesses of these things, and behold, I send forth upon you what my Father has promised, but remain in the city of Jerusalem until you are clothed with power from on high. Now, this is after Jesus resurrected from the dead, and He appeared for 40 days to the disciples, proof of His resurrection. Now, verse 50 says, it says this, then He conducted them out as far as Bethany, lifted up His hands, and invoked a blessing upon them. Well, how did He do that? He spoke over them. How do you invoke a blessing over people? You speak over them. Amen? You are blessed. That's just not a fancy word for someone that sneezes. God bless you. Amen. Well, there's a whole lot of power when you believe what those words say. But it says, verse 50, He conducted them out as far as Bethany, lifted up His hands, and He invoked a blessing on them, verse 51. And it occurred that while He was blessing them, He parted from them and was taken up into heaven. Now, that would grab your attention right there. Jesus is invoking a blessing. I bless you. You're blessed in the city. You're blessed in the field. And all as He's saying this, He starts ascending. We're like a hot air balloon just starting to rise up. Amen? And it says right here, verse 51, and it occurred while He was blessing them, He parted them from them and was taken up into heaven. And they worshiped Him and went back to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple celebrating praises, blessing, and extolling God. Amen. So be it. All right. So Jesus said in verse 49, He said that to His followers after He was raised from the dead, He says, I want you to go into the city of Jerusalem. Now, it's interesting because the Lord chose Jerusalem as the initial outpouring for the Spirit of God. Can you bring that picture up again of the upper room? This is the room where they were, the exact place. That's it right there. That's just one side of it. It's a huge room. Okay? That's also where the Last Supper was. When Jesus had the Last Supper, that was where it was shortly before that. All right? Before the outpouring of the Spirit. But Jesus told them to go to Jerusalem to be endued and wait to be endued with power from on high. Now, when Jesus appeared to them, now you can read about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. When Jesus appeared, there was over 500 people that He appeared to when he told them, go wait in Jerusalem, go wait until you're going to be endued with power from on high. But you know how many people showed up? 120. Well, what's 500 minus 120? What's that? 380. for all those mathematicians here. Okay? All right. Jesus, in 1 Corinthians 15, you can read this out. Jesus told over 500 people when he appeared to go wait in Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. Over 500 that only, in Acts chapter 1, which we're going to go to in a minute here, only 120 showed up. So that's, you know, there was more that didn't show up than did. Well, he said, well, what were they doing? I don't know, probably washing their donkeys or whatever. Making dinner, whatever. But they got busy. Think about that. Now, how would you like to be part of that charter crowd that was there in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost? The mother of Jesus, Mary, was in that room too. She was there. Praise God. It was the obedient. It was the obedient that took Jesus' word seriously and says, I will be in that place. Amen. So let's go to Acts here, and we're going to spend the rest of our time here, and we'll close here this morning. Praise God. But Acts chapter 1, reading out of the King James Version, it's Acts chapter 1 and verse 1. Bless the Lord. Are you learning something this morning? Say this after me. There's a person called Holy Ghost, that lives on the inside of me. Wow. What would happen if you walked around 10 minutes or 15 minutes before you go out to work in the morning or wherever you go, and you just walked around your bedroom and said, my body's a temple of the Holy Ghost. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Jesus sent the Holy Ghost. Just meditate on that. The Holy Ghost is in me. The Spirit of God is in me. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And all of a sudden, when you come in contact with people, you're going to be a whole lot more conscious that it's just more than you showing up. There's someone else in you. There's someone else in you. See, this is what will put us on the cutting edge of life, is that life will no longer become mundane and boring, because how could life be boring with the Holy Spirit on the inside of us? And I will say this, there is no such thing as a sad Holy Ghost. You can't find a sad Holy Ghost. Yet there are millions of believers that they get sad when God starts moving. You know, now I know God can make people cry and stuff like that, but let me tell you something. The Bible says that the kingdom of God is not meat or drink, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. Amen. That's the kingdom of God. That's a song, praise God. Righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God. So what's the Holy Ghost do? He shows up and gives you joy. Now some people, when you preach in church, they never smile. Look in the mirror sometime. I'm not kidding you. Never smile. Serious all the time. That's not the Holy Ghost. Okay? The Holy Ghost isn't serious all the time.
That's good.
Amen? It's when we stiffen up that we can have more injuries. That happens in the field of sports. You get stiffened up. You got to be limber and loosen up a little bit. Amen? Praise God. God's on the throne. He's going to take care of you. He's going to work it out for you. Bless the Lord. Don't worry. Don't fret about how that thing's going to work out, for Pete's sake. Amen? Let God be God. And put some joy inside of us. It's going to work out. Amen? I've been sometimes... Through the years, I've been in some situations like you have too, you know. And you know, in the natural, there's like nothing to be happy about. There's nothing to be excited about. There's nothing to be... I felt like crying, to be honest with you. But I heard the Holy Ghost inside me say, if I were you, I'd laugh right now. Well, I don't feel like laughing. That's all the more reason to laugh by faith. Ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha, ha. Ha, amen? Well, let's read on here. Praise God. All right. Acts chapter 1, verse 1 says, the former trustees have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to both do and teach until the day. Now, Luke wrote, of course, the book of Acts here. Verse 2 says, in the day that he was taken up after that through the Holy Ghost, he had given commandments unto the apostles of whom he had chosen, Verse 3 says, of whom he showed himself alive after his passion with many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Verse 4, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. Now notice verse 4, Luke is actually reciting Luke 24, 49. But Luke adds this, he said, Jesus commanded them. He didn't just suggest. He didn't say, I highly suggest that you go wait in Jerusalem. If you have time, go wait in Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. He says right there, verse 4, Luke says, Jesus said, he commanded them an order about which there's no retreat. He says, he commanded them, amen, to wait for the promise of the Father. All right? Verse 5, John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days from now. Praise God. So there's water baptism. We understand that. That's biblical and it's true, where a person is completely immersed. You know, by the way, there is no such thing as sprinkling baptism in the Bible. Yet there's a lot of people that believe that, you know, just little dab will do. You know what I'm saying? But actually the Bible teaches full immersion. Amen? I don't know about you, but I want my whole being saved. Not just part of me. Amen? But he says, you're going to receive the Holy Spirit baptism not many days from. Verse 6. So when they were come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? Because they're reading, you know, prophetic scriptures about Israel being restored, which it will be. Verse 7 says, he said unto them, it's not for you to know the times, the seasons that the Father has put in his own power, or the epochs. But, verse 8, you shall receive power. Now that word power is the Greek word dunamis, where we get our English word dynamite. Okay? He said here, verse 8, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Now notice it says that you'll be a witnessing. He didn't say you'll go witnessing. He says you'll actually be a witness. See, we're a witness in every area of life. Isn't that true? We're a witness in our attitudes. We're a witness in how we treat people. We're a witness. You know, that's really important. How many of you know that's really important, how you treat people? Amen? We're a witness in our demeanor, our attitude, you know. And Jesus said, you're going to be these witnesses after the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Praise God. Verse 9. When he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up. Remember we saw that in Luke? And a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. Isn't that interesting? Amen? While they were talking, while Jesus was talking, he was taken up. Verse 10 again, it says, while they looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up in a cloud, he says, two men stood by them in white apparel. Now, this is not Pat Boone here. Okay? You know, Pat used to wear all the white suits and all that, white shoes. Everything was white, man, you know. These are angelic beings here. Okay? These are angels. And what did they say? Verse 11, you men of Galilee, why stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which was taken up from you in heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go. All right, let's stop and talk about this for a minute here in verse 11. Jesus was raptured right here. You know, the Bible talks about the catching away of the church, the rapture that's going to take place. You and I as believers are going to be a part of that rapture. But there was other raptures. Amen? Elijah was raptured. Remember that? He was taken up in a whirlwind up into heaven. Jesus was had an experience, a personal rapture right here. It says a cloud came down and received him up into heaven. Now notice that it was a gradual ascension. Jesus is still talking to them while he's going up. It wasn't like, I'm out of here. It was gradual. This was a gradual rapture. And while he's going up, Jesus is talking to his disciples. Now that'll grab people's attention. But notice that it says that Jesus Christ is coming back the same way he left. And if you read Thessalonians, it says he's coming in the clouds, bless God. And he's good. The trumpet's going to blow and the dead in Christ shall rise first. That's people that have gone to heaven before us. They get their new bodies 1 millisecond before us. And then we which are alive and remain on the earth shall be caught up together with him. Makes me want to just jump. Get caught up. Glory to God. And that's the rapture of the church. You and I believe, are the generation that will be alive and remain on this earth when the trumpet blows because of all the prophetic, I'm really getting ahead of myself here, but be all the prophetic things that have been spoken in the Word of God are fulfilled. And I believe that we're the generation. We're the generation. Because Jesus said, the generation that sees Israel, the fig tree, shoot forth leaves. He says, that's the generation that all things shall be fulfilled. Amen. The Israel, Jesus said, look at the fig tree. You know, God's time clock is the Israel, the nation of Israel. And they're the fig tree. And Israel blossomed in 1948 and became a nation after hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. They became a nation against all odds. And so the fig tree shot forth leaves May 11th, 1948. And it's been a nation ever since. Why do you think that so much hatred is arrows, more than any nation on this earth, is towards Jerusalem? One of the smallest countries in the world, the size of the state of New Jersey. Because it's everything that represents God. All the words, the prophetic words about Jerusalem and everything that came out of there. And the devil hates Jerusalem. That's why the Bible says that they will be a cup of trembling in the last days. That's what God said about Israel, a cup of trembling. And you can just read your newspaper, turn on the news, and you see there's all kinds of stuff that's happening in Israel all the time. You know, what Boston just experienced, Israel experiences all the time. All the time. Think about that. And that just lets you know that I can look at my time clock and I can see how close that we are to the end. Because the nation, or the people that see the fig tree shoot forth leaves, he goes, all things will be fulfilled. No, we're not naming a day and an hour or anything like that. We're going to get goofy that way. But we are the generation. We are the generation. And previous generations, Noah's generation, they didn't believe that there was going to come a flood. They didn't believe it. So they didn't prepare for it. He says it'll be just like that in the days of the Son of Man when he returns. People will be eating and drinking, giving in marriage, doing this, doing that. And then all of a sudden that day is going to overtake them like a thief in the night. Now, it's not going to overtake you and me like a thief in the night because we're prepared for it. The people that think it's a joke, don't take it seriously. And there are people in this earth that make light of Christianity, make light of the gospel. Let me tell you something. Jesus is coming back. Are you with me? How many are ready for him to come back? Hallelujah. Well, he started to ascend, and they're looking up at him. And then two angels just appeared right there. Look at verse 12. Says, when they returned, the angel said, this same Jesus that went up, he's going to return in like manner. That's exactly how he's coming back. Amen. Verse 12 says, so they returned to Jerusalem on the mount called Olive, which from Jerusalem is a Sabbath day's journey. And they were coming. They went into the upper room. All right? And there abode both Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon, Zealots, and Judas, the brother of James. And all these continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women. And notice Mary, the mother of Jesus, was with their brethren. Okay? So you have, and it goes on to say that there was 120 that were in, there in the upper room, 120. What are they doing? They're waiting for the promise of the Father. Now go to Acts and we'll close here, but Acts chapter 2. Sometimes I think as ministers, sometimes we can almost take it for granted that people know these things about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. But, you know, whether we've been saved for 2 years or 5 years or 20 years or 25 years, we have to constantly renew our mind to the ministry of the Holy Spirit and what He's been sent to do. Amen? Because I'll say this, that if we're allowing, I'm saying this to me too, that if we're allowing the Holy Spirit to do what He wants in our life on a daily basis, we're going to be a whole lot happier than we are now. A whole lot happier. Now, brother, you don't know what I'm going through right now. That's all the more reason. Because the Spirit of God knows what we're going through, and He is there to help us get out of that muck and that mire. He's there to lift us up out of that. And if we'll look to Him, and if we'll hearken unto Him and listen to Him, He can lift us up. And He'll lift us up if we listen to Him. He'll give us wisdom. He'll give us direction. Well, brother, I don't know what to do. I'm not sure what to do. He does. He does. Everybody say, the Lord is smart.
The Lord is smart.
Now, I wouldn't suggest doing this. You know, we are dumb. He is smart. But and when you think about it, in the natural, yeah, we're stupid. Okay? Apart from God's wisdom, we're just a bunch of dummies. Now, that's not a native confession. I'm just saying apart from Christ. We just so happen we're not apart from Christ. The Anointed One lives on the inside of us. And He knows all things. He knows all things. Now, look here what happened on the day of Pentecost. They were there in the upper room. There, as we saw there. And it says that when the day of Pentecost was fully come, this national holiday where all these nations were here, God decides to pour out His Spirit. Think about that. It wasn't in some back closet somewhere on a wave when everybody's out of town. This is when everybody was coming into Jerusalem. God says, I think I'll pour out My Spirit on this day right here. And there is significance to this festival, by the way. We'll get into that at a later time here. But on the day of Pentecost, verse 1, it says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. Say, brother, that sounds kind of tight. You know, they all fit inside of a Honda. Little loose translation. They're all in one accord in one place. It says, and suddenly, everybody say suddenly.
Suddenly.
All right, all of a sudden, there came a sound from heaven like a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. So notice, they were sitting down. They weren't standing. They weren't kneeling. They were just like you all are. They were sitting right there. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. As the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, this is not a trick question. In verse 4, who did the speaking here, the people or the Holy Ghost? Okay, the people did. That's a correct answer. But it was the Holy Spirit that gave them the utterance. So, in other words, when they spoke in tongues, it sounded like them. You know what I'm saying? Just like, you know, you have a signature to your, just like you have a fingerprint that's your signature. No one else has it. Your voice is a signature voice print. Okay? No one else sounds like you. You can have impersonators and things like that, but no one else can sound exactly like you. The Holy Spirit didn't change the tone of their voice. He just supplied them the words, but it in other words, for example, Brother Curtis here, he plays a saxophone. and does a tremendous job playing a saxophone. Okay. Have you ever played a trumpet before, brother?
Once.
Okay. Well, how many of you know a saxophone? We want to hear him play next week. Amen. Hallelujah. But a saxophone and a trumpet both require someone to blow wind into it. Okay? But depending on the instrument will depend on the type of sound that comes out. It's the same wind. Curtis could take up a saxophone, blow that thing, you know? I would hate to hear what it sounded like if I tried it. It probably would. You wouldn't want to hear that, you know? Probably swallow the reed or something, you know? Anyway, just kidding. I'm not serious. But depending on the type of instrument will depend on the type of sound that comes out. Are you with me? Now, the same would be with another wind instrument, like a clarinet. What's another wind instrument? Bassoon?
Flute?
Any flautist in here? And so, but you could take one person and put air in every one of those instruments, but every one of those instruments is going to produce a different sound. But it's the same wind that went into all of them. But depending on the type of instrument that it was, that's the kind of sound that it will produce. And so it is with the wind of heaven that God fills you with the Holy Spirit. You speak with other tongues, but it sounds like you. It sounds like your voice, you know. But it's the Holy Spirit. Because a lot of people have been confused through your study. I don't know if it's, you know, it sounds just like me. People have been discouraged. I've talked to people that have been really discouraged, you know. Brother, I don't know about this tongues thing. You know, I said, well, do you speak in tongues? Yeah, but I think it's just me. And I said, you're right. It is you. I've told people, I said, you're right. It is you. What do you mean? I said, yeah, what do you expect to be a baritone when you're a soprano? You know, do you want to sound like Uncle Fred when you speak? I mean, come on. You want to sound like you. Are you with me now? No, there's no, without that wind, there's no noise coming out of those instruments, okay? And without the Holy Spirit, you cannot speak with other tongues, okay? But the good news is that when God sent the Holy Spirit, now we're going to look, there's actually five different accounts in the book of Acts, five different accounts where people, this was the initial one, but there's five other places, and the book of Acts spans about 30 years, okay, from chapters 1 to chapter 28. It's about a 30-year period, okay? And you'll see, like, in Acts chapter 7 and Acts chapter 10, Acts chapter 19, these are years apart. And you'll see in Acts chapter 10, the house of Cornelius, they were filled with the Holy Ghost. You know, this is about 8 years after the day of Pentecost, you know, that the Italians got filled with the Holy Spirit. Cornelius and his household. And so there's this consistent pattern that when God fills people with the Holy Spirit, then they begin to speak. Now, my spiritual father, Brother Hagin, said this, and I'll kind of just close with this. I said kind of, but, you know. But he said this, that the primary area that the Holy Spirit will... The first area, let's just say, where the Holy Spirit... And this is all biblical, by the way. It's not just some man's opinion. But the first place that God will touch is your mouth. All right? When they were filled with the Holy Ghost, what did they do? Did they jump? No, they spoke. When they were filled with the Holy Ghost, they ran. No. What did they do? They spoke. And the Bible says that Peter, being filled after the day of Pentecost, he said, Peter, being filled with the Holy Ghost, opened his mouth and spoke and preached a sermon. So it says when he was filled with the Holy Ghost, what did he do? He opened up his mouth and he began to speak words that would help other people. So I would say this, that the number one thing, the number one way that you can be touched by the Holy Spirit, and we'll just start with where you're at and where I'm at, you know, the number one way is when you're filled with the Holy Ghost, it will impact your mouth, but your mouth will impact every other area of your life. Okay? Anybody here ever said anything under inspiration of the Holy Ghost before? Huh? You felt compelled to say something? You know, I'm not just saying, thus saith the Lord. I'm talking about you felt encouraged. You wanted to encourage somebody. You felt compelled to give somebody a phone call and talk to them or whatever, just to encourage them. Well, what is that? That's the Holy Spirit. And so what did you do? You opened your mouth and you began to talk. You began to speak. Praise God. And as you began to speak, some things began to take place. Hallelujah. Now, why? We'll get into this later here, but what's the deal with this tongue? Why do we have to speak in another tongue? Somebody asked Brother Copeland that one time, and he stopped and paused. He said, no, we don't have to. We get to. It's a privilege. Now, maybe you came from a background that taught against it, that didn't understand it. And through lack of understanding sometimes, people, and I just really admonish you to not shut it off. Don't quench it and just say, oh, man, that tongue stuff. You know, listen, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit is never going to make you do something that's going to embarrass you. God is never going to have you standing in a grocery line somewhere and all of a sudden tongues comes on you and you start embarrassing everybody around you. Because listen, you can, just like you have authority whether you talk or don't talk, you also have, you are the custodian of your prayer language. You can speak in tongues and you can stop when you desire to, when you're filled with the Holy Ghost. Did you know that? You don't have to wait for some goosebump or some feeling to come on you to start speaking in tongues. No. Or when you have a special song on, you can decide to speak in tongues. Just like now, I decide I'm not going to say anything. All right, I chose to do that for a second or two. And so it is with the language that God gives you, that He gives you the ability to start and stop any time that you want. Okay? You are the custodian over that. Amen? Bless the Lord. Lynn, you got something from the Lord? Yeah. Amen.
You know, I was just thinking, you know, how you're talking about when you get filled with the Holy Spirit, that it's your voice. And I was like, it's the exact opposite when somebody's actually possessed with the devil. Like, literally, their voices change. Yeah, I mean, like, when it's a demon spirit in somebody that's possessed, it changes their whole voice. So that's kind of creepy, huh? That's not why I got up. Oh, my goodness. Hallelujah. I just wanted to encourage you on that note. On Friday night, I was like, gee, we got to set up some kind of a system, whether through email or whatever. We just had a real burden of prayer come on us Sunday night. And the four of us just started praying in the Holy Spirit. And, naturally, you know what happened on Monday, you know. And I was like, wow, that's amazing, you know. I mean, the whole situation wasn't averted, but at the same point in time, if more Christians would have picked up on that, you know what I mean, that the whole situation could have been avoided, amen, which is true. So I think this is an awesome time for us to get into the ministry of the Holy Spirit and how He operates through us, being open to hear His voice, amen. Amen. It's amazing, though, how connected we are to the spirit realm. It's actually amazing. You can pick up in your spirit things people are going through. And like you'd mentioned a couple weeks ago that, you know, sometimes depression might come on you and you're like, I don't have anything to be depressed about. But you're picking up on the saints because we're one body. Amen. So, you know, let's just say it's the shoulder person is feeling something in the foot. Well, that's where we start praying out for that person, the perfect plan and will of God for them. Because, you know, things come against the body. We're one. We're so connected with each other. It's just amazing. And we don't want to think we are, but we are. Amen? Praise God. But I just want to encourage you that you hear the voice of the Good Shepherd today. Amen? You hear the voice of the Good Shepherd, and the voice of a stranger you will not follow. And I'm going to just pray over you this morning. Thank you, Father. Father, we thank you that we are filled with the Holy Spirit, and we thank you that we do have utterance from the Holy Ghost. And I thank you, Father, for giving us ears to hear in a greater way what your Spirit is saying to us, Lord. I thank you, Father God, for an increase of sensitivity to the Holy Ghost moving in our lives, Father God. I thank you, Father God, he shows us where to be and where not to be, who to be with and who not to be with, Father. And I just thank you for that great deposit of the Holy Ghost. I thank you. He's what causes us to overcome. He gives us the power to overcome situations in our life, Father. So I just thank you, God, that we're filled with the good Spirit. It's the Spirit that sets men free, Father. And we just thank you for what you're doing in our lives. We thank you how you're using us. And we just trust you, Father God. We pray ahead of time for Jim and Jean DeLong coming, Father God. We surround them with faith and love. We just thank you for giving them a smooth week. And we come against any forms of distractions that cause them to get under any pressure before they come. And we break the power over that in their lives in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you for the comforting power of the Holy Spirit to get them ready and to bring them here. And that, Lord, they'll have a message and a word in due time, what we need right now, Father God, to propel us into your future. Future into the things that you have in store for us, Father. And we trust you. We trust you, Father God. We thank you for the increase in our lives and in the meeting. And we thank you for the men's breakfast. Oh, Maharedi Shobokoto. There's those that are coming that aren't a part of the church. And we plead the blood of Jesus over these men, Father God. I thank you, God, for stirring up their hearts, Lord. I thank you for a new beginning for them, Lord. I thank you, Father God, that they're going to hear things they never heard before. And we ask that you fill Jim with boldness and the right words for the men on Saturday morning, Father God. We draw bloodline around them in the name of Jesus. And we thank you that they're going to come out differently than they come in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Praise God.
Thank you, sweetheart. Praise God.
Glory to God. That's awesome. Amen. Thank you, Lord. There is a refreshing. There is a refreshing that's available to every single one of you. The Bible says, with stammering lips and with another tongue, I will speak unto my people. Paul was quoting Isaiah 28. And he said, this is the refreshing. For with stammering lips and another tongue. Amen. There's a refreshing. You know, we have physical refreshing and stuff, things that cool us down when we're hot. But there's a spiritual refreshing. And it's when we begin to pray in our heavenly language, amen. And I just really want to encourage you to allow that to flow this week. Allow those rivers to flow this week in your life. And allow the Holy Spirit to refresh you. Amen. Blessed be the Lord. Well, Father, we just pray over each one right now as we leave. We thank you, Lord, for goodness and mercy to follow each one of us. And we thank you for all these good things you have in store all this week long, Father. For everyone here. In Jesus' name, amen.